Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 186. Spotlight on IDW / Boom Star Trek Planet of the Apes number one. I am Chris Mosby.
Ook 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 ook.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to do that. That was supposed to be Klingon, but it came out a monkey. So, no, this is Caleb.
And I am Murray.
And as we said in the intro, we're doing in homage to the passing of one of my beloved Star Trek actors. Leonard Nimoy died on Friday of COPD, which is my father has the same thing. We're doing Star Trek Planet of the Apes number one, The Primate Directive. I like that. That's a cool title.
Yeah.
But he's had a long battle of that. He was 83 years old, and he's been had trouble for a while, so it's it was sad. Still kind of sad about it. Kind of melancholy about it right now, as a matter of fact. Been watching lots of Star Trek off and on ever since I heard. And he will be missed. He will be missed.
Well, have you seen that meme picture that's going around where it shows Kirk, McCoy, Spock, and Scotty all sitting around a conference table, and then they've photoshopped out the Scotty, Spock, and McCoy.
Oh.
Yep.
It's too bad.
Makes you think.
Yeah, it does. And of course, there's a big rigmarole because, you know, Shatner didn't make it to the funeral. He had some other commitment with the Red Cross, which, you know, it was, I don't know. Some people are mad about it. I'm thinking, you know, hey, it's Shatner. Why are you surprised? They probably, you know, say paycheck or go to a friend's funeral. Paycheck, I'm sure. So if that's what even is, it doesn't really matter. You know. Anyway, so let's get this going. And yeah, I'm being Debbie Downer today, so I apologize ahead of time.
Okay, Debbie.
Okay.
All right. So,
all right.
As Chris noted, this is Star Trek: Planet of the Apes, The Primate Directive, brought to us by our good friends at IDW, who published the Star Trek books, and Boom, who recently acquired the Planet of the Apes rights to do books over there. There was multiple covers done for this. The one I have is the very cool George Perez one.
Yeah, that's a great
cover. Where the Star Trek crew, the Star Trek crew, along with Charlton Heston, are fighting the apes. I'm sorry, my daughter decided that exact moment was the moment to come in and look for scissors. Hold on, guys. Can you all pause that for a second, Chris? I'm gonna. They're not here, Samantha. Christ. Sorry, guys.
No big deal.
Yeah, well. Okay, so anyhow.
Anyway,
this is written by Scott Tipton and David Tipton. Art by Rachel Stott. Colored by Charlie Kirchhoff. Lettered by Tom B. Long. And edited by IDW's Zeragatos and Boom's Daphna Pleben. I don't know.
No idea.
Anyhow, bunch of incentive covers, including one done by a good friend of mine named Tone Rodriguez, who did the one. Yeah, he did the one with the ape in the yellow, the science color shirt. Sweet. Sitting on the captain's chair.
Yeah, so. I see that one. That's cool.
Yeah, good guy. He did Violent Messiahs for Image many years ago, as well as other stuff in the meantime. But anyhow, so we start off in what looks like a primitive house. And it says, you make lots of promises. Let's see something more tangible. And gonna focus on a gun. It looks like human hands holding a gun. I think you'll find this to your life in general. And the human hands are handing off the gun to, well, not so human looking hands. Careful now, it's got a lot of more power than those wood carved stone throwers you've been firing. Oh, I'm sounding crackly, huh?
He sounds fine on my end.
Yeah. Okie doke.
All right then.
All right then. No worries.
No worries, man. Okay.
So we pull back and we see the general. The general ape is holding the weapon now. He says, "I like it. What manner of steel is this?" He asks.
Not a specific ape, but a general ape.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. I don't know my Planet of the Apes characters. I apologize.
I don't either. So I'm totally clueless as to who that's supposed to be.
I guess it's, from the original Planet of the Apes movies, it's the general that Heston's character went up against.
Wasn't the chimpanzees the ones that were
the badasses?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, probably. It's stamped sheet metal, easier to manufacture in bulk than forged steel, and it can fire 600 rounds a minute. And there's 100 more where that came from, General Marius. Why should we trust you? Asks the general. Why shouldn't you? Asks a shadowy figure. So long as you have the means to take control, does it matter where the means come from? What's the catch? Asks the general. No catch. Conquer your world. I'm certain your kindness will be returned in time. And the general fires off a few rounds at the wall. And he's ooking as he's shooting. Clearly loving it. Oh, and he even says, I like it. And the shadowy figure says, I suspected you might. We are kindred spirits. You and I, with my help, you'll have the entire planet writhing beneath your heel. It'll be glorious.
Kindred spirit. So that means it's Gorilla Grodd.
It's very, very possible.
This is a three-way crossover. DC snuck in there behind closed doors and said, hey, we've got lots of gorillas to offer you.
You betcha.
We have a whole city of them we can lend you.
Let's see, we're talking about the general?
Yes, General Marius.
The guy, they just call it a renegade general on the official, well, not really the official. There's a Wikipedia that's specific to Star Trek called Memory Alpha, if you haven't ever looked at it. It just says a rebel general. I don't know if his character was actually in the books or not, or the movies or not. I'm still looking into it.
Well, remember, it was a series. It was books first, so.
Oh, it was books first? I had no idea.
Yes, Planet of the Apes was, in fact. I don't remember what its exact name was. It actually had a different Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Now, there's actually a Planet of the Apes wiki. I should have known.
Well, yeah.
Of course there is.
I'll be damned. They don't really give you much on it, on his name either. Well, I read through this. It was actually, I was wondering how they were going to pull this off. It was actually interesting. Plot, so, or how they did it. Anyway, continue. I'll shut up now. Where are we?
We are in Star Trek land now.
Still there, Caleb?
I'm here.
Caleb?
I accidentally muted.
Oh, there you go.
God, I'm having all sorts of issues tonight. Sorry, guys. Okay, so we are on a planet elsewhere. We have a not-so-cleverly disguised Sulu and Uhura walking along what is the Klingon homeworld, which is called what, Chris?
It is called Kronos, sir.
Thank you. And we got Nudako, Nudako, blah. And then Uhura says, yeah, something Klingon-y. And it's translated to, where are you going? Well, I have access. The computer. I have to access the computer. What business is it of yours? And he's, the guard is saying, go on then. And Sulu says, oh my.
Yeah.
Not saying.
This panel here where they're standing next to each other is one of the instances, as I look through this already, where some of the hand gestures that they make, the artist makes the characters have is very strange. Look, if you look at Sulu's hands as he's walking there, it's kind of why it just looks weird. And you'll see some others as we go along. But anyway,
he's doing jazz hands.
Jazz hands? Okay, that's what I thought. Something like that. Yeah.
and the Klingon is like, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, get out of here. Yeah. It's just weird. Anyway.
Yeah. So nicely done, Lieutenant. If I didn't know better, I think you were natural born Klingon. It's all in the attitude, Mr. Sulu. The key is always sounding irritating. It's like Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain's log, stardate. What is that? 6815.3?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. My glasses are making me read worse. Starfleet intelligence has determined that the Klingon Empire has begun aggressive new plans for conquest in violation of the Treaty of Organia. Oh, I remember that episode. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
However, no incursions into existing Federation or even Romulan territory have been discovered. Under sealed orders from Starfleet Command,
I was waiting for that.
Been tapped with infiltrating a Klingon communications post and determining the nature of these new plans, if they exist. Accordingly, I have sent Lieutenant Sulu and Uhura to retrieve the intel alone. And they are retrieving. And she's saying we're on a time schedule, don't rush me. And they pull it up, and it's plans for something. All right, we're in. Is the data capture running? Seems to be. And even then, it takes a long time for data to transfer to a jump drive.
Yes, it does. You'd think that they would have fixed that, but hey, you know.
Yeah, imagine if they had to send it to a Dropbox. They would have been there all night.
Yeah. Okay.
They can teleport a human being or any kind of thing from one place to another, but it takes them that long. They have to transfer data with a cord still.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
All right. So another guard shows up and they crack and biff him through the computer monitor, crush him, and the alarms go off. And so there's a, or the Uhura's, I think they're onto us, Lieutenant. And they go, keep running out, wham, through a door, and they vroom, transport up to their ship in a very cartoony panel.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And I assume that Scotty with his back to us is a Gordon, sir.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, no, it's Mr. Leslie. Oh, no, Mr. Leslie's at the helm. It's
yes, just, he is.
Now, Mr. Leslie, take us to warp. Aye, sir. Mr. Leslie was in a couple episodes, wasn't he?
Yeah, he made an untimely end in an episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he the one who got super brain power for an episode?
No, but he was killed by that person, if I remember correctly. Okay.
Sorry.
Problem. Hey, Nimoy's passing's even made me think harder of doing a Star Trek podcast, believe it or not.
Mr. Spock, if you care to join us in the conference room, let's see what kind of secrets the Klingons have been hiding. Any political reason he's got McCoy in
there as well. We're losing you.
How about now?
Okay, you're good.
I don't know.
We had a bad connection there.
Like I said, I am trying something new here. I have this mic plugged into my tablet rather than my computer, so I'm doing my damnedest to get rid of our MacBook.
Okay.
There's only two things that we do on that MacBook, and one of them is this podcast.
Oh, okay.
So, and McCoy sits down at the table. Sulu's ripping off the mustache with the. So this is what we. This is how they do it. They glue it to his face. It's like bad actors. Okay?
Yeah.
Whatever. They've come so far.
Mm-hmm. I remember that in the 1960s.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I just remember that episode of Next Generation where they actually altered their bodies.
Yeah, they did surgery on them, yeah. Well, they did that to Kirk in one episode where he pretended to be a Romulan.
Yeah, of course.
The Enterprise incident, one of my favorites.
They put him in blackface and everything. Was there,
that might have been a different episode, but yeah.
They like darkened his face. They made him like.
Well, that's what they. That's what the Klingons looked like back in. They just darkened their skin. So.
It was blackface. Come on, it was Al Jolson.
That was close to it. Yeah, it was. They're trying to make him look more like Chinese. Well, that's what their equivalent was supposed to be anyway.
The late great Leonard Nimoy is telling us colloquially speaking, Captain, I would have to respond in the positive. The data obtained from the Klingons' computers reveals that their plans for expansion are indeed already underway. However, the reason we have not seen any evidence is that they are not expanding into any known territory in this universe. This universe, Mr. Spock, explain. Through the use of these drones arranged in a fixed position in space, the Klingons have discovered a way to access what can only be described as interdimensional space. So the Klingons were far advanced past the Federation. Damn.
Yeah, seemed like it.
All right, other dimensional, like our experience with the Hulkins. Hulkins, help me out there.
I'm trying to remember. Give me a moment.
That's okay. I just remember the only. Yeah, okay. At this point, I can only speculate. However, also in the file were the coordinates of where the Klingons have chosen to test their devices. At current speed, we can arrive in 5 hours. Now we're talking, Mr. Spock. Transfer those coordinates to the bridge, Lieutenant Uhura, Mr. Sulu. Once you found yourselves.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sir.
The Hulkins, that's referring to that mirror, where they went to that mirror universe with all the evil versions.
Oh, okay. I thought that was all an accident. Okay.
It was an accident, but it was the same planet on both universes.
Ah, okay. Got it. Captain's log, supplemental. It almost seems impossible to believe that the Klingons may have discovered a way to rend the very fabric of space and time. Yet if I have learned anything in my years in this chair, it's that yesterday's impossibility is too often today's dilemma. Wow, that's talk about Debbie Downer.
Yeah, it's true though, even now.
Or
okay, go ahead. Anyway.
All right, so Sulu's at the helm now. Dropping out of warp, sir. Spatial anomaly directly ahead of us. I can see it, Mr. Sulu. Fascinating. Well, I think we found our area of incursion, Mr. Spock. Captain, the Klingon vessels have spotted us. They're powering their weapon system. Hey, they just dropped out of warp right in the middle of all this. Okay.
Yeah, I know. That wasn't too bright, was it?
No. Shields up. Red alert. Hi, sir. Duh. Now, shouldn't Chekov be putting the shields up? Okay.
It depends on. Well, no. All the tactical stuff was usually handled by Sulu in this era of Star Trek, anyway.
All right. What the hell did Chekov do?
He did photon torpedoes later on when they decided to have them.
Photon torpedoes.
And here's one of the things they screwed up in this particular deal is they have on those era of ships, the disruptor beams did not come out of – that's the engine it's coming out of. They came out of the top of the ship. Or where the bridge is, and that's how coming out of the engine. So it just bugged me. Just a me thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you call me a nerd, Murray.
Oh, I'm probably the biggest Star Trek nerd you'll ever meet. I'm just not as vocal about that as the comics.
You didn't know who the Hulkins were.
I sounded familiar. But I looked. There you go.
All right, so she, Uhura does her level best to get a transmission back to the Federation to warn them. They get crackathoomed by the.
Take a drink. Damn, yeah. Out of it.
Look out! Look out! He says, "What?"
I know. And look at his, look at the way his fingers are. It'd be painful.
Look out!
That's one of the things I thought was. And look, you look in the background. You hear her is actually ducking, like she can move out of the way.
Her nether regions covered by that tiny, tiny, tiny skirt.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, yeah, that was odd too.
All right, so they get into it. They get into a firefight with the Klingons, and of course, they take the Klingons out because the Klingon ship is built so stupidly with that narrow beam between the engines and the.
Exactly.
So stupid.
There's another thing. Look at his like. Kirk's hand thing. What does he do? Is he casting a spell there or what? Look at that. It just looks silly. Anyway. Sorry.
Artistic license. Again, Mr. Sulu, don't let up. They keep firing. They thoom one of the other ships. The other ones are coming around, setting Mr. Chekov. Status, Mr. Sulu? Shields at 70%. Oh, my. The other Klingon vessel is gearing up, Captain. They're leaving. Like, that's unlike them. Heading into the portal.
Yeah, I agree. That is unlike them, but hey, whatever.
So they're running away. Status and damage Klingon ship. Mr. Spock holding steady weapons. Engines and shields are offline. They are running on life support only. They appear to be preparing ship-wide defensive positions. They probably expect us to beam over for some small weapons and hand-to-hand combat, which would be very Kirk-like. We could karate chop them upside the back of the neck.
Yeah. Not a good idea, though.
Yeah. I have no intention of giving them what they like. Besides, what's in that for us? Exactly my point. I'm sure some of their friends will be coming for them soon enough. And they are now getting the okay to go ahead and take the Klingons on, now that they already have taken the Klingons on. Okay. Too little, too late. Always good to hear from the home office. Mm-hmm. I think I know the course of action you have in mind, Captain. You know me well, Mr. Spock. You're not thinking of going in there, are you?
Damn it, Jim.
Damn it, Jim. You're an idiot. Red-blooded moron. I am indeed, Doctor.
Oh, you know what? I just thought of something. That Organian thing, that should have kept them from even firing on each other, if I remember correctly. Anyway, go ahead.
This is hardly the time and place for space tourism, Jim. We're already exchanging fire with Klingon vessels. So much for the treaty with the Federation. We may be on the verge of an all-out war with the Klingons here. That's exactly why I want to know what's going on through that portal, Bones. What are the Klingons up to? Why are they guarding it? You don't even know where that thing goes, or if we can get back. How about it, Spock? Can the safe go through? Don't forget the can we get back part, says Bones. And Spock's pointing to the screen with the portal engines. He says, all evidence indicates it to be a dimensional gateway reinforced and made stable with these drones, which are well beyond the Klingons' abilities, as well as our own. Okay, that's good. Okay, I forgot about that. Uh-huh. The technology is more advanced than that of any culture we've encountered, Captain. I must admit, I am at a loss to explain it. Warp signatures indicate the Klingon vessels have been entering and returning from the portal with great regularity. So to answer your query, Doctor, it does appear that we can...
Also, they didn't make the portals.
No. Yeah, exactly. I had forgotten about that panel. So, but I cannot confirm for certain is how safe the environment on the other side is. The portal is impervious to sensors and all forms of communication, apparently by design. That would explain why the second ship went through the portal then. So how do we know that they've been coming back and forth through?
Something that the scanning when he did the scan. The warp signatures, you said, indicate that Klingon vessels have been entering and returning.
Okay. The evidence that the Klingon cruiser fled there indicates stability in the portal itself, yet what awaits us on the other side remains unknown, says Spock. Something new to consider, Captain. Long-range scanners indicate that multiple Klingon vessels are heading this way. Heading this way.
Mm-hmm.
At least four battle cruisers. We would be far outnumbered should we remain much longer. And based on that, Kirk's checking with Spock. Are we good to go? We're all good, Captain. Engines are in top shape and the shields are back up at about 90%. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have full strength within the hour. Gentlemen, we're going to need a course right through the portal at the other side and be prepared for anything once we're through. Keep those shields up. Aye, aye, sir. Course confirmed. All right, Mr. Sulu, take us in. One quarter impulse power, Lieutenant. Nice and easy. And they go through. They go into the light. Stay away from the light, Kirk. And they don't. Idiots. And they come out. Little magic fingers. We're through. Getting my bearings now. These stars are familiar, Captain. No, the hostile vessels on scatter. One nearby planet coming up on... I can't do it.
That's fine. Earth? Nice try, though.
Thank you. Earth says, Chekov, Spock, confirm, Captain. It is Earth. Based on the predicted pattern, constellations, and planetary erosion factors, the year is 3978. Did something move forward into our future? I don't believe so. No. I would hypothesize that this is a different universe, the future of a different universe. By observing the degree of atmospheric degradation and the lack of familiar historical advancement at key moments in the past, Hamlin must have diverged from that of ours. Where's the planetary defenses grid? We're 1,700 years in the future, and they don't seem to have achieved space travel? And he's like, nope. Didn't do it, Captain. Didn't happen. No. Nuclear war, perhaps. Heightened radiation levels suggest no other explanation. Population levels were significantly reduced. I see only small villages and towns well outside of devastated metropolitan areas. And Spock scans the planet, finds the Klingons down there. Aha! Keep your eyes out, Sulu. There's at least one Klingon ship around here somewhere. Where are the Klingons? Where have the Klingons been beaming down, Spock? Seems the Klingons' destination has been just north of a small village on the eastern coastline of what you would have called North America, Captain. He, however, would not have called it North America.
No, he would.
I don't know what he would have called it, but not North America. What's their plan here, Spock? What's in it for them? Insufficient data at this time, Captain. Mere speculation is pointless. Agreed. Sounds like we need a closer look. A landing party.
Of course. Let's bring red shirts to shield us.
So they beat you down, and not necessarily a red shirt, but they have a red head with them.
Well, yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know what kind of outfit those are, but I guess it's supposed to look like the indigenous population. It's weird.
They do have the insignias on there, holding their vests closed. So.
Yeah, it's the colors. Yeah, weird.
And the bald black guy must be from Walking Dead, because he is going to be dead any time now.
Yeah, I would imagine.
If you're bald and black in The Walking Dead, expect to be dead very soon.
This is true, I have to admit.
The Klingons are in there, Captain, as they are poking their way through the forest, and they see that structure from way back on page one, and they're looking through their cool binoculars. Look who it is. Old friend, poor. I should have known. What the? And he's talking to a couple of apes. Apes? Captain, says Spock. You better see for yourself, says Kirk. To be continued.
I kind of like that. I kind of want to read the rest of it to figure out where those portals came from.
Well, number two is out. Number two is out there now.
Yeah, it's been out. I think it's been out for a while. I'm sure I've already got it.
I don't know if number three is out yet, but definitely number two is out. And that was fun. I mean, I honest to God, as a kid, Planet of the Apes scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I never did. I never was a big fan about it at all, actually. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
I like the apes.
There it is.
The apes.
There's number two.
You just like Roddy McDowell and Kim, what's her name, right?
Kim Novak.
Kim Novak. Thank you. Good job.
I go. I know my monkeys.
Know your monkeys. yeah, that's a good one.
That damn dirty internet won't let me see if I can. If there's a number three out yet.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've got number two here.
All right. Well, nice quick read as always. Mm-hmm. These tend to be if you know how to edit out the superfluous dialogue that there was clearly tons of.
Yeah, that's. That
it's a good setup issue.
Yeah, it's actually not a bad premise. I mean, how they met up. I mean, they did a good job of that, at least the whole alternate universe thing. I like that. So,
can I just say it's a lot more logical? As much as I enjoyed it, by the way, it's mm-hmm. a lot more logical than the Star Trek Legion one.
Oh, absolutely, I agree totally.
As much as I enjoyed that was a cool miniseries. This just seems like a more logical crossover of two franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're of the same era, right? Like they're their science fiction is both out of the 60s. I don't know. It's a better mix. Whereas Legion is.
Well, Legion was 60s, so just saying.
Well, yeah, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. But Legion isn't of its... Legion has been updated. Legion is of its... Like, it's of its era to a point, but it's... Whereas, I don't know, Star Trek and Battle of the Planets. They're tied to their time period a little more, I think, than the Legion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even though they've rebooted both franchises, yeah, definitely these at least these versions of Star Trek as well as this version of Planet of the Apes are very contemporary to themselves.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, true. Very true.
Anyhow, I was racking my brain. I was thinking, oh well, let's look at a Star Trek comic from IDW. Mm-hmm. And then this one popped up when I did a quick search, and I went, you know what? Obviously, the first one that popped up was the Legion one, but as Murray wisely noted, it's been done in other podcasts.
Yeah, I was on that podcast too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they invited me on as the Star Trek expert. So we went through the whole series in one episode.
And so did we. We invited you in.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go.
I think the art was good in this one. Like the likenesses, the facial likenesses were all spot on, I thought.
Yes.
Like not,
yeah, they not did a good job.
But they were, yeah.
And it should be noted, I should have said this way, way back at the beginning of this. This is the Shatner-Nimoy version of Star Trek, and it's set during the TV show era as opposed to the movie era, et cetera. I mean, that should have noted that way up front, but...
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't the cool...
So, which issue will it be before Kirk bangs a monkey?
It's five issues total. I would imagine by three or four, either a monkey or one of those primitive women, I would think. I would imagine.
Oh.
Yeah, because
I think a primitive woman goes without saying.
Yeah.
But a monkey woman.
No.
Would well, be right many, up Kirk's alley.
He is how many issues, like that.
How many issues before he ends up in a loincloth without his shirt?
Oh, probably sooner than you think, because it looks like an issue two that Charlton Heston tries to take over the Enterprise so he can throw the damn dirty apes.
Oh, that cool. Is fun.
That yeah, that's good comics right there, and good TV, I bet.
They have some good comics you got going on there, IDW/Boom.
That's some good stuff, man.
That's nice, nice.
good quick read. I'm curious about who the shadowy figure is.
Yeah.
My first thought at reading it, I thought, oh, it's going to be a Klingon, but clearly it ain't.
No.
It's a third party.
Isn't that Korg guy?
Well, yeah, he's the Klingon that they're talking to, but why show, I mean, why show that guy shadowed? It's like, where did that technology come from? That's what I'm wondering.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. We don't know that that's Korg that's giving him the rifle at the beginning of the issue.
Mm-mm.
No, we don't know. I'm just assuming it is, but I have no clue because I don't know.
Yep.
Well, his build is a lot lifier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyhow. I don't know. How many issues is this thing supposed to be? Does it even say?
Five.
Okay. So.
Yep.
20% over, and we've got the introduction to the characters, and well, most of the characters. We haven't met the Heston character yet.
Yeah, you meet him pretty quickly in the second one. I've just looked through it real quick.
Cool. What is his name? I cannot believe I'm blanking on this.
Bright Eyes is the only thing I can remember.
Yeah, but that's the monkey. I'm trying to remember the.
No, that's what the monkey's called, Heston.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
That I remember.
All right. Well, anyhow. Yes. That's all I can say. I enjoyed it. It was good art, like you said, Murray. Decent writing. Couple of goofy moments and lots of, you know, I'm sure for the Planet of the Apes geeks, there's a lot of Easter eggs floating around in there. And for the Star Trek geeks, there's plenty of Easter eggs as well.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
As we, okay, I guess we wrap this up.
Absolutely. Quick and painless.
Yep, there we go. That's the way to do it. Let's see. Okay. As always, you can send us an email to podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can... check us out on the Facebook page, and we can talk all kinds of comic book geekiness there. You can comment on the actual episode and let us know what you think. And that's it for this week. Live long and prosper.
Nice.
And we're out. Thank you.